I want you to turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When Paul was exhorting the elders and the preachers at Ephesus, he told them, said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Support the weak. And also to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now I feel impressed today to bring a message about giving. What God's Word has to say about it, about giving, about supporting the weak, sharing, helping where you see a need. And there's lots and lots of false teaching about giving, lots of false teaching about it. So many preachers, they take advantage of people, abuse people over this subject. Men are told to give because it's out of duty. It's a duty to do it. It's your duty. And that what that does is, as far as I can tell, it puts people back under the law. If it's a duty, you put people back under the law. If you tell people just to give 10%, of all they have to the church, where in the world would they get an idea like that? Well, they have to go back to the law. They have to, of course, go back to the law. They go back to the Old Testament laws given to Israel. Yet they don't require men to be circumcised. They don't require them to keep the Old Testament Sabbath, which is from Friday night at 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock Saturday evening. Not supposed to do that. They don't tell them to keep all the dietary laws. The Jews were allowed to eat certain things and other things was unclean. But yet they'll go to that one thing. Tell you it's a duty. But not one of the apostles, and even our Lord Jesus Christ, you can't find tithing in the New Testament. Can't find it. Another reason men give for giving is reward. Oh my, you give and God will bless you with a wonderful home, bless you with a big fine job. You support our program, you do all these things and God rewards you. Oh, he'll reward you. Oh my, he'll prosper you materially. You'll have so much stuff that you don't know what to do with it. So what you do then is you give so you get something back. You give to get in return. What a selfish motive to do anything. To give, getting something back, wanting something back. That's so contrary to the grace of God. So contrary to the grace of God. Our Lord taught us to give expecting nothing in return. Nothing in return. So I tell you, duty, reward, and another motive that men use for giving is fear. Fear. I remember fundamentalists and legalists really use this. Fear. If you don't pay your tithe, you know what God's going to do to you? A fella told me one time that God's going to kill me. Kill my wife, kill my children. They preach this tithing. And if you don't pay your tithe, God's going to take it out the back door. You're going to end up in the hospital. You'll be out somewhere in your car, blow up. He's going to get that money off of you one way or another. He'll put you in the hospital. He'll make you sick. Oh, listen, I tell you what. Ain't that the awfulest thing in the world to have folks for fear? What if you believe that if you didn't pay a tithe today that God was going to, take it out some other way? going to make you sick, make you ill, make your children sick. Oh, that's awful philosophy. That's a horrible thing. That's a poor reason to give, and that's so contrary to what God's Word says itself. And there's another motive that people use. Praise and recognition. You know, churches used to have penny marches. You know, and then they'd have all the kids come up and give their pennies. And we're going to give it to the missionaries. You know, and all of that rigmarole. And listen, if you buy a pew, we're going to put your name on it. We need new pews. If everybody's going to buy a pew, we're going to put your name on it, and we're going to have it put in the plaque on the end of your pew. And if you help build this church and come up, if you give so much money to build this building, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put your picture up in the fellowship hall. Oh, my. We'll give you a certificate. If you give so much money, we'll give you a certificate and sign it and tell everybody to know how much you've done. Give you a badge. These schools, they'll sue that. If you give $10,000, you'll get this recognition. You give $15,000, you'll get that much recognition. You give $25,000, you get this much recognition. And oh my, our Lord condemns that. He says, oh, don't you give to be seen of men. Don't do that. He said, I tell you what, when you pray in secret. When you fast, you give in secret. And if you give, you don't sound a trumpet. You don't sound a trumpet. And I want to speak as kindly as I possibly can. As honest as I possibly can. And I want to say what God says about giving. It's not a duty. You're not going to receive any reward. Don't want anybody doing anything out of fear. Certainly don't want people to be recognized contrary to the Word of God. That'd be a denial of the principles of God's grace. Grace is a heart principle. It's a heart principle. Something that God puts in a person's heart. Not law. Not law. Oh, my prayer is that God would give me a believing heart, a praying heart, a loving heart, a praying heart, a generous heart, and for His glory, for His praise. I want to know what God's Word says about this subject. And it has so much more to do with what you get given you out of your pocket. That's not what I'm trying to talk about today. That's not what all I'm going to say today. Because if God don't have you, He don't have anything. If God don't have your heart, He don't have you. If He don't have you love, He don't have you. And that's what we're talking about. But look over here in 2 Corinthians with me. Here's one thing about giving. It always look down there in verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And what He's telling these saints of God here is that you're a church. You're noted. Everybody knows that you have faith in God. You have faith in God. You're known for your strong preaching. He says the utterance. You're known for your strong preaching of the Word, known for your knowledge of the Word, known for your knowledge of preaching the Word, known for your knowledge of the doctrine and the truth of the gospel, truth of the Word of God. You're known for all of those things. And then he said, you show great love for the apostles. Oh, you show great love for the apostles. You do that. But he said, I want you to notice this also, that you abound in this grace. Abound in grace. And this grace, what? The grace of giving. You know, I believe this with all my heart, that generosity is a mark of the grace of God in a man's heart. It's in a person's heart. A saved man's a generous man, loving man, a kind man. And look at the second word. So grace, I tell you what, the first word is grace. Grace ought to be, you know, where grace is in a man's heart. I mean, you know, it just does something for a man that nothing else will. Law won't make you do things. Law won't make you do that. Grace will. Grace will. And the second word here is love. Look down in verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, I want you to notice this. Grace and love. Boy, anybody against those two things? Oh my goodness, grace and love. Grace and love. And look what he says. I'm not speaking by commandment. I'm not giving anybody a commandment. But I'd like to see the sincerity of your love. You need to prove the sincerity of your love. I'm not commanding you to give. That's what he said. I'm not commanding anybody to do anything. He said, I'm not ordering you to give, not setting an amount to which you are to give. That wouldn't be right. You know, churches all the time, almost all the great big churches that you know, million-dollar buildings and half a dozen people on the payroll, they start at the first of the year and make everybody give pledges. You got to pledge, you know, so we can make our budget for the year. Got to make our budget. Man, if I budgeted for the year, I don't know what in the world I'd do. You know, I got to take it 1 month at a time. You know, I just got to deal with it 1 month at a time. And you know, hopefully more don't go out than comes in. Don't you hope that hope for you? Hope more comes in than goes out. But oh my, wouldn't it be awful for somebody to give you an amount, ordering you to give, setting an amount for you to give? Anything that you do, anything that not motivated by love, it's absolutely and utterly worthless. It's utterly worthless. Huh? And oh my. And you know what he used as example for love? Look down there in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you know the grace of our Lord. This, you know this. How that though he was rich, oh, rich in grace, rich in glory, for your sakes he became poor. Became poor. Come into this world with nothing. Left this world with nothing. And then by his very poverty, he turns around and makes us wealthy. Makes us wealthy. You know, the apostle said, if I give my body to be burned at the stake, I'm going to give all my goods to feed the poor, and I don't have love, it won't profit me anything. You know, all of us in here that's married, we got a marriage certificate. We went and got a marriage certificate. You know, whether we got married by the preacher, whether we got married in the courthouse, everybody, you know, you got evidence that you got married. You got a marriage certificate. You got a ring. You exchange rings. Everybody's got a ring. But now I tell you what, when you want to prove that you're married, Do you run up and say, listen, I will show you how I'm married. I'm going to show you, instead of love, I'm going to show you this marriage certificate. Run to your wife and tell her, I don't love you, but we're married. I appreciate the ring. No. You don't need a marriage certificate to prove you're married. You know how you know you're married? Because you married somebody you loved. You married somebody you wanted to be with. You don't have to put a ring on and look at that. See, I'm married. You don't have to have it. You don't try to do that. You know how you prove you're married to the person you're married to? Love, kindness, grace, generosity. You want something? Listen, I'd like to get this. But listen, I love you. Go ahead and get it. If we can afford it, get it. Ain't that the way you are? Ain't that the way you are? Huh? Oh, grace and love. Grace and love. Let me show you something else about it. Something else about it. Look down in verse 12. If there first be a willing mind, grace, love, and willingness. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. Oh my, a willing mind. A willing mind. You know, look down here in verse 7 of chapter 9. Look what it says here about God. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. Loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, when you look at this, it doesn't say anything about duty, pledges, pressure, a tithe, a debt, but willingness, willingness, willingness. Oh, my. To give willingly, cheerfully, thankfully, from a heart of love of grace, blessed of God because you've been blessed, love and grace. And let me tell you this, the amount is absolutely unimportant. A man, he does say here, a man's required to give what he does not have. God does not expect a man to do what he does not have. Doesn't expect him to do something he cannot do. But he expects him to do that from which he has now. What he has now. Not what he's going to have. Not what he had. But what he has right now. Huh? And he does it because he wants to. He's willing to. Where do you get this willing mind? Where do you get this willingness from? In the day of His power. The day of His power. The day of His power. He made us willing. That's one thing that God does. He takes a man and changes his will. He changes everything about his will. And I tell you, if a man does anything, he does it because he wants to. Because he wants to. Because he wants to. Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. So willingly. Love. Grace. Willingness. That sounds like somebody that God's done something for. Put grace in their heart. Love in their heart. Willingness in their heart. That sounds like somebody that God's done something for in a miraculous, supernatural way. Supernatural way. Now look over here and I'm going to give you another word. Another word. Look over here in chapter 7 again in verse 9. Chapter 9 and verse 7 again. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. not grudgingly, not out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, the word alone, this word alone right here that I just read, will do away with the duty of tithe, the tithe, 10%. You know, I years ago wrote an article on that. If all you had to give was 10% or 50%, that'd be like salvation. You know, God gives you 90%, it's left up to you to do the other 10%. Or you give half of what you got, then that means that, you know, God done half and then you do the other half. That wouldn't work, would it? That wouldn't work at all. Wouldn't work at all. No. If I'm obligated to give 10%, there's no reason for me to even worry about what goes on in my heart. That, you know, just give my 10% and forget it. Huh? Why would I consult my heart? Why would I be led by the Spirit? Why would I have any purpose in my heart? If I've had a tax put on me, and this is what the tax is, 10%. But as a man's purposed in his heart. You know, last March, I'd been here 42 years, and this coming up on September. So ever how long I've been here, 42 years and 8 months or 7 months or whatever it is, that I've pastored this group of believers. In all the years that I've preached, nobody can ever say that they heard me preach tithing. Never heard me preach tithing. Nobody can say they ever heard me beg. Never heard me beg to get anybody saved. Never heard me beg for money. Nobody can say they've ever heard me beg. Nobody can ever say that I wanted something that anybody else had. They can't do that. They can't do that. You know why? Because God, you tell Him what the need is, and you'll always have it. You tell him. And here's the thing about it. You know how He does it? Does it the way He does everything else in our lives, by the grace of God. That's how he does it. And He does it by the grace of God in the hearts of His people. You build buildings from the grace that's in a person's heart. You keep the building up by the grace that's in people's hearts. And we're stewards. Everybody knows what a steward is. You know, our Lord talked about stewards and husbandmen. And a steward is somebody that is committed certain things. He said, this is yours and it belongs to me and I want you to take care of it. I want you to manage this. That's what I want you to do. I want you to manage this. And a steward, we're all stewards of what God gives to us. That's what we are. We're stewards of what God gives us. That's what we are, stewards of what God gives. We're stewards of His grace. We're stewards of what God gives to us. And so, everything that He gave to us, David said it like this, I only give back that to which you have already given me, Lord. I don't have anything that you ever gave. You gave me the throne. You gave me the crown. You gave me the strength. You gave me the grace. You chose me. You set me apart. And he said, everything I've prayed and everything I've done and everything I've given, Lord, I'm only giving what you've already given me. And I tell you, and God by His grace enables us to look at His church, and that's us. Somebody said, you know, there's a need. I think the church ought to do something about it. Well, you're the church, ain't you? Each and every one of you. If you see a need, could you meet it? You're the church too, you know. And I don't mean to be smart alecky about it. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not even being facetious. But as God purposes, God enables us to purpose in our heart. No threats, no duties, no rewards. Just love, just grace. That's all. Just love and grace. He said, I love you. I love the church. I love the people. I love the saints. And if I see a need, oh God, open my heart. Make my heart generous and kind and fill it full of grace and love. So if I see a need, I'll stand up and I'll meet that need. I'll do it. I'll do it. I want to help. I want to be a partaker of preaching the gospel. I want to be a partaker of supporting the gospel. I want to be a partaker of supporting God's work. I want to be a partaker of serving and doing the Lord's will for His people, for His people. You know, God gives people jobs, His people jobs, so that they can support the work. God gives people's homes so that they can open their home and have the Lord's people in. He gives them food so that they can fix a meal for the Lord's people. He shows you sometimes that somebody needs something. And you don't have to let everybody know what you've done. You see somebody in need, you just do it. You shake hands with them and you do whatever needs to be done. You don't let your left hand know what the right's doing. What the right's doing. That just makes sense, don't it? Just makes sense. Let me show you another word. And I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 16 for this one. For this. Look at this word here, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. When I come. I want to look at the proportion here now. He said, whenever you take up a collection for the saints, and he's talking about poor saints, he's talking about the saints. He said, you lay by in stores, God hath prospered you. I want you to look at two things here in this verse, second verse. Upon the first day of the week, and this is the first day of the week. Here's the first word, everyone, let everyone. Everyone. Every believer, every saint of God, every child of God is a giver. Whether he's rich, whether he's poor, whether he's old, whether he's young, every believer is generous and wants to share what he has with others. He really, truly does. You remember when our Lord Jesus was standing there in the entrance to the temple, and there in the temple they had a great big box. And the scripture says that the Lord was sitting there watching, and here come people out of their abundance. They was throwing in gold and they was throwing in lots, you know, and they've just come up there and reaching in their pockets and just throwing handfuls in there. Here come a poor old widow. An old widow woman. She walked up there and she had about a half a penny. Two mites. About a half a penny. And she put it in. And the Lord said, see all these people? Said they gave out of their abundance. But this woman right here, she gave everything. And that's what God's saying to us. Give everything. We just sung that song, tore every idol from my heart. Take away this heart of stone. Take away stinginess. Take away selfishness. Take away pride. Take away worrying about self. The scripture says the world's lovers of selves. We're lovers of one another. We're to serve one another. Serve one another. I remember one time years and years, and oh my goodness, so many years ago, I had an old, what was that old Mazda rotary engine thing. That thing was so old, and you know, you could put $3 of gas in it and run for weeks. But I went off to preach someplace one time, way off in the middle of nowhere, and I don't remember where it was. And pretty good little crowd there, and I got ready to leave. Nobody said, I'm going to give you some money for gas. Nobody said that. But an old woman come up to me, an old woman. And she shook hands with me and put $2 in my hands. $2. Just $2. And she said, I said, ma'am, please keep that. She says, no. She says, no. The Lord laid on my heart to give that to you. $2. They could have gave me probably Oakdale how much money. But that woman, God had it fixed. $2. $2. See, as God says here, listen, you don't have to give something you don't have. If $2, God puts it on your heart to give $2 or $5, give it. It don't have to be hundreds. It don't have to be thousands. It don't have to be fifties. It don't have to be twenties. Don't have to be those things. That widow, she didn't have much, but she gave what she had. That woman that gave me that $2 didn't have much, but she did it out of love because the Lord laid on her heart. And then there's everyone. Here's the next word. Look what he said. Buy him his store as God hath prospered him. You give as God in proportion as God has blessed and prospered him. That's what he does, is God has blessed and prospered us. Those who have more are able to give more. Those who have less, naturally they give less. That's just the way it's made. That's the way God says it. But here's something about all of them. Every single one of them. All of them give. All of them share with others. And God enables them. You know, people give us squash. Give us tomatoes. Give us food and bowls, bring it here and give it to them. When people get sick, people go and bring meals to them. We're not just talking about money here. We're just talking about living and sharing and helping. When Mary got sick, you all for 6 months brought a meal every single day. When we just had that funeral, and you know what all y'all did? You gave and went here and put on a good meal for that family. That's what I'm talking about. Why do you do that? Love, grace, willingness, generosity. Generosity. And just, ever how God's prospered you, that's what you need to do. If He's not prospered you much, don't do much. But if He's prospered you, you know, don't be like that fellow said, oh my. He said, I've got so much this year, and I've been so prospered, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build some more to fill them up. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Oh my. Everything we have is given to us from God. Everything. Our Lord asked this question. He said, who maketh thee to differ? Who makes you to differ? What have you got that you did not receive? What have you got that you did not receive? And you know what our Lord said one time? He was teaching and preaching. He said, you know, a man can't receive nothing, except God gives it to him from heaven. You can't receive truth. You can't receive this message. You can't receive anything that God doesn't give you. So what did we have that God didn't give to us? What do we have? Huh? What do we have? And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to thank God. Oh, thank God. Thank God for a nice suit. Thank God that we could go buy something. Thank God. There's times I couldn't. I remember one time that we couldn't buy our children winter coats. We didn't have the money to buy them new coats for the winter. You know what happened? Went to the mailbox one day. I had a letter from somebody. And there's a $100 bill in it. Way back in the 70s. Our kids was little. You know what we did? We bought the kids new coats. That's what I'm telling you. Somebody somewhere thought of me. Somebody somewhere thought of me. And I had a need and couldn't meet that need. But God did. And every one of us has been there one time or another. One time or another. So I tell you what, we're going to thank God. Thank God. Thank God for our clothes. Thank God for His shoes. Thank God for a nice bed to lay down in at night. Thank God for a good pillow to lay your head on at night. Thank God for a wife. Thank God for a good meal. Every day, what do you want for supper? What do you want for dinner? I don't know. Whatever you fix. Why do we do that? Why does people do that? Because they love. We got grace in our heart. Huh? And oh my. And then we have love to God. We have love for others. Oh, we love others. And a believer, God's blessed people, want to share what God gives them. As God leads them by the Spirit, and they do it freely, they do it willingly, and we give as God enables us to. I want to show you something back over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Ruby used to quote this to me going out of the building. I couldn't countless times. Oh my. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, look what God gave us. God gave us. Now, I also want you to look in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let me show you this. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all may abound to every good work. You know, he said God's able to make grace abound to you. You can do anything that God enables you to do. And then you'll have all sufficiency, all sufficiency. And the last thing I will say is this. And a man told me this just the other day. Give as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. See, you're not giving to the church. You're giving to the Lord. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's gospel. It's the Lord's church. Give us unto the Lord. Our Lord said this about his disciples. He said, "For as much as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." Huh? You did it unto me. There's some motive. The love of Christ constrains us. He said, he constrains us. Oh, it's our motive. All that God did for us, his love constrained him. God loved us before the world was. He loved us so much that he gave his blessed Son. And our Lord Jesus loved us so much that he gave himself for us. The Spirit of God came and spread abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So grace, love, willingness. And it has to do with our whole lives as believers. Our Father, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet here today. And Lord, bless the words to our hearts. Save us by your grace. Save us by your love. Save us by your power. And Lord, make your word effectual in our hearts and in our understanding. And do these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. All right, let's...